Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let me read the first three verses to you. Revelation chapter 1, this is not the revelation of St. John the Divine. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And the word was given to John by the Spirit of grace. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show, that is, to manifest, to expose unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And then it says of John, John who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Here's my subject, John bear record of the word. The scripture begins this way, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as I said last Lord's Day, certainly this would be a good title, not only for the last book of the Bible, but if you wanted to give a title to all of the Bible, to all of the scriptures, this is the best title. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It reveals him. It sets him forth. It manifests him. We won't know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't know anything about God's saving mercy to sinners. We won't know anything about blood redemption. We won't know anything about being justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ unless God reveals himself through his Son. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All revelation, all of the Word of God is a revelation of God's Son. This is the one we focus on. This is the one we look to. No other can save you. No other could come and wash away the sins of his people. No one else's righteousness could ever be imputed to someone, and then God, on the basis of that imputed righteousness, therefore justify them. This is the one we need to know. This is the one we need to focus on. This is the one we need to direct our attentions to. And this is the one the Bible sets before us. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now notice this next expression, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, while the Lord Jesus is indeed God, John 1, John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He is God. While he is God himself, and as such, he has life in himself, and he has light in himself, and he has all knowledge in himself, yet he is also God's faithful servant. The Lord Jesus became Jehovah's servant in the covenant of grace. And therefore, he took a position in which he was answerable to the Father. Though equal to the Father in every way. Now, don't miss that. He's equal to the Father in every way, in his person, in his essence, in his authority, in his power, in his eternality. He's equal with the Father and with the Spirit. Yet, in order to save us, in order to redeem us, in order to be the sacrifice for our sins, God's only begotten Son humbled himself, and he made himself like unto sinful flesh. We read, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He had to be manifest in the flesh. He had to become Jehovah's servant. Jehovah's servant, our sacrifice for sins, our substitute. He had to do that in order to save us, in order to redeem us, in order to lay down his life as a ransom for our salvation. Now, in that capacity, as Jehovah's faithful servant and as our mediator, that which he spoke when he came into this world were the things that God gave him to speak. And notice the language of the verse again. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And most people, when they read those words, they just assume that it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto John. But this is not a reference to John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus Christ. Now let me help you a little bit with this and look at that word OF of in the first statement. The revelation of Jesus Christ can also be translated this way, the revelation from Jesus Christ. It's from him. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him. In other words, God gave him the revelation, and the revelation that he gave to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, he then gives to us. So this is the revelation that God gave to Jesus Christ. It comes to us from the Savior by God's grace. By God's grace. He receives information, he receives instruction from the Father, the Lord Jesus, our surety, and the friend of sinners, as the Scripture says. He, in his state of humiliation, he is said to take these things from the Father and then to show them unto us. Let me give you a couple of references on this. Look over at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This takes nothing away from his deity. Please understand this. It takes nothing away from his deity, but it sets him forth as our mediator. It sets him forth as our great high priest. It sets him forth as Jehovah's faithful servant. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 49, right at the end of chapter 12, and our Lord has now finished his public ministry. That which he has to say from here on out, he will speak to his disciples. But as chapter 12 comes to its end, listen to what the Savior said in verses 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. That's his word, the word of God. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Everything that he had to say, he received from the Father. So this is indeed the revelation that came from Jesus Christ as he reveals to us the things that God gave him to say. He's the faithful servant of Jehovah. This revelation was given to Christ by the Father for us. You see, the Lord Jesus in himself, the great trustee of divine revelation. Everything God would have His people to know. All of the information that God would have for us to have and to understand. He has given to His Son, and His Son gives it to us. In that capacity, He's our mediator. He takes the things of God and He shows them unto us. And listen, if the Savior doesn't do it, the things of God won't be known. You can't know the things of God. You can't know God Himself except through Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the great mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We need to learn this therefore. That which God has to say to His people, He says through only one person, Jesus Christ the Lord. That is always the truth, and there are no exceptions to the rule. God the Father reveals Himself in, through, and by His Son. God speaks to us through Christ. We speak to God through Christ. God will not speak to, nor will He be spoken to, by any son or daughter of Adam except through Jesus Christ the Lord. Everything God's got to say to you, He says through Christ. And everything you've got to say to God has got to go to God through Jesus Christ the Lord, who makes it presentable to the Father. Amen. He's the great mediator. That's what the writer of the Hebrews is saying in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. He says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers, He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. By His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son, and God has spoken to us about His Son. We know that God spoke to men in the Old Testament. He spoke to men in types and shadows and ceremonies and figures and pictures of the law. He spoke to men in the Old Testament through the Old Testament prophets. The Savior said to the Pharisees in John 5 and 35, "You search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me." Understand this, all of the law and all of the Psalms and all of the prophets spoke of and pointed to Jesus Christ the Lord. And now in these last days, and this is what is being said there in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. In these last days, since our Lord Jesus has come into this world, God has spoken one more time. He spoken with finality. With finality and in one way. By or through His Son. The Lord Jesus is not one of many revelations. He's not one of many words from God. He is the Word of God. He is the revelation of the invisible God. He's all of God you'll ever hear from, and He's all of God you will ever see. He is Himself the mediator between God and men. We read in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, and our brother read this to us a bit ago. His name is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He's the one who communicates to us the message that God has. It's a blessed verse. Look over to John chapter 1, a special verse on this. John chapter 1. Look down at verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The grace of God comes by Jesus Christ, and all of the truth of God comes by Jesus Christ. There is no truth of God. There is no knowledge of God. There is no grace of God that comes to sinners except through Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the revelation. He is the revelation from God. All that God's got to say to you, He says through His Son. And those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, who don't speak of Jesus Christ, who don't glory in Jesus Christ, therefore of them we may rightly conclude they have no message from God. They have not received a message from God because they ignore His Son. All of these religions that bypass the Son of God, they are absolutely worthless. Amen. They are worthless. You say, but preacher, there's so many people who believe that sort of way, or whatever religion you want to think about, that they bypass the Son of God. They deny His deity or deny who He is or just say He's a Son of God. All those people are well-meaning, preacher. They may be well-meaning, but they're lost. They have no knowledge of God. You can't know God except through His Son. That's what the Scripture says now. Go back to our text. Now look at it again. We've got to be insistent upon this because the Bible is insistent upon this. This is the revelation from Jesus Christ. It's the revelation from Jesus Christ which God gave to Him to give to His servants, to give to us. Those who don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ give absolute evidence that they have received no message from God. Amen. No message from God. You and I, we cannot see God. We cannot know God. We cannot deal with God. We cannot speak to God. We cannot be spoken to by God. We cannot come to God except through Jesus Christ the Lord. You can absolutely forget about coming to God by means of some dead saint. That's an impossibility. Forget about coming to God through Mary. She can't help you. She can't help you. She is not the mediatrix of all graces, as the popes have taught for many years. One pope said there is no fruit of grace in the history of salvation that does not have as its necessary instrument the mediation of our dear lady. That's absolutely a lie. Amen. A lie. A recent pope, the pope before the one who's the pope now, said, "Let us give thanks to God the Father and to God the Son and to God the Holy Spirit from whom and through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, we receive all the blessings from heaven." That is absolute error. That is blasphemous. Amen. I'm telling you, everything you receive from God doesn't come through Mary. It doesn't come through St. Christopher. It doesn't come through St. Jude or St. John or any other saint. It comes to you in, through, and by Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. It's the only way. Say, well, I'm going to get me a little emblem of some saint and wear it around my neck. Bless your heart, listen. That's pagan. That's pagan. And I know people don't understand it. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest with you. And I'm trying to magnify God. That's blasphemous now. These things like that, you shouldn't have those things. Get rid of it. If you got it where somebody... I had a dear lady once, she said, somebody gave me a pendant of I forget what dead saint it was. She said, it was one of her children gave it. She said, it means so much to me. And I said, that's a golden opportunity for you to go to your child and say, listen, I'm going to tell you why I can't wear this. I'm not trying to be mean, not trying to be cantankerous with you, not trying to be hard to get along with. Let me tell you why this is wrong. So we live in a society today where anything goes. There are no rights and wrongs. Well, let me tell you something. In the Word of God, there's that which is right and there's that which is wrong. There's that which is the truth and everything else is error, and it doesn't matter what kind of religious umbrella it falls under. It may even fall under the religious umbrella of Baptist or Protestant. It's still error if it's not according to this book. Amen. This is the truth as it is in Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, He is the truth. He is grace and grace and truth come to us by Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no prophet like our prophet, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the way, without Him there's no going. He's the truth, without Him there's no knowing. And He's the life, and without Him there's no living. No prophet like our prophet. He is unrivaled in His excellence as the revelation of the invisible God. And so this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and it is also the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show, to manifest unto His servants. We're His servants. We're His servants. Things which must shortly come to pass. Why must they come to pass? Why must things come to pass? Because God's ordained them. You see, everything that ever happens, and we can't comprehend this. I know people say today, well, I only believe those things I can wrap my mind around. Well, bless your heart, you're not gonna believe much then. Everything that's ever going to happen, God has ordained it. And I hear people talk about, well, God permits this to happen. Well, that works in His sovereign will. Everything's got to be according to His sovereign will. Either God governs everything that exists, or He governs nothing. Now, it's got to be one way or the other. Either God reigns upon His throne over everything good and evil, or He doesn't reign at all. Amos said, shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hadn't done it? I know the way the world thinks. Don't you think this way? The world thinks this way. Well, those calamitous things, those tumultuous things, those troublesome things that happen, the bad things that happen in this world, that's the devil. When a hurricane hits or a tornado strikes and many people are killed, that's the devil's doing that. You need to read the Scriptures. You need to find out that God reigns. The devil doesn't reign. He's reigned over. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, He reigns over the devil and all of the fallen angels and over all the good angels and over everything that exists everywhere. King Jesus reigns supreme.
Amen.
There's nothing left out. There are no exceptions to that. That's the reason when trouble comes, when sickness comes, when disease comes, when something comes that strikes your very heart and your soul and lays you low and it pains your flesh, you as a child of God can look up and say, even so, Father, for so this seemed good in Thy sight. That's what you say as a child of God. When something happens that causes you to weep, to cry, and your heart is broken, still you can say in your soul, my God rules over this. He rules over this. In Job chapter 1, indeed, Satan was used of God. He was used of God to lay Job low. And Job, after he lost all 10 of his children, lost all of his possessions, he didn't say the Lord gave and the devil took it away. Don't talk like that. Well, the devil's ruling the world today. Well, I tell you, if he is, I just forget it all, because we ain't got a prayer if he's ruling the world. King Jesus rules the world. Job said, the Lord gave. The Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just buried my 10 children. He says, the Lord gave them to me and the Lord took them away. I'm going to worship God. When something happens that burns your flesh, it hurts you deeply, that scars you and brings you tears. And I'm not saying there isn't real pain. There is real pain. But you've got to bow at the throne of God and say, Lord, I know you did it. And I know it's according to your eternal purpose. I know your ways are mysterious. Your ways are past finding out. Read the last few verses of Romans 11. Isn't that exactly what it says? You can't understand the ways of God. But everything that happened is fulfilling His redemptive purpose. Now listen, God has ordained to exalt His Son. And God has ordained to give Him a people, and those people be conformed to His image. I know that. From this book. So everything that's happening in the world, I don't care what's happening, I don't care where it's happening, I don't care how it's happening. Everything is fulfilling God's eternal purpose to the exaltation and glory of King Jesus and the fulfillment of God's redemptive purpose to save a people through the blood and the righteousness of His Son. Everything is serving that purpose. Amen. Everything's serving the purpose of God. I may not understand it, and you may not understand it, but bless your heart and bless my heart too. We don't need to understand anything. We just need to believe. Amen. Isn't that right? We need to believe. Oh, God, help me to believe you. I told somebody last night, I was texting them. It's amazing you can text it. But I said, I hope the Lord give you sweet rest tonight. As you remember, God's on the throne. That'll give you sweet rest now. Yeah. You figure out, by the enabling power of the Spirit of God, that the Savior who died for you and who redeemed you, who took your place, who paid your sin debt, who died that God might be just and the justifier of all who believe on Jesus. When you find out that He who died arose from the grave and ascended, He's seated on the throne and He rules the world to fulfill the purpose of God. When you find that out, when I find that out and we believe it, when it's not just a doctrine in the mind, but a doctrine in the heart, when we learn that, we're taught that by the Spirit of God, that's when we'll have some peace. That's when we'll have some joy. That's when we can go to the funeral home and even stand before the casket that bears the body of the dear loved one that we hugged and loved and appreciated for ever how many years they gave him to us. And we can bow our heads and say, Lord, thank you for giving him to me. Thank you for giving her to me. And I'm going to worship you. Lord, my heart's broken. But this is your work. Amen. You rule. My Savior rules. And He shows us things that must come to pass. They must. Why do things come to pass? Listen, got a history teacher here. Got some other history buffs in here. I know this about history. It's not a bunch of disorganized, random happenings throughout the world that are disconnected or not connected at all. Everything that happens is fulfilling God's eternal purpose. Amen. And everything is happening on schedule. Here, it's right on track. And I know we get anxious and we look at the state of the world today, and this is a perverted world. There's no question about that. And that grieves the hearts of God's people. The perversion, the immorality of the day. Oh. And yet I know whatever God's purpose is, it's being fulfilled. And maybe this nation, maybe our days are coming to an end. I don't know. I'm so thankful to live here. I'm thankful to be born a Virginian. I tell you that. Thankful to be born in the South. And a Virginian. And be born in the United States of America. Greatest country in the world. But, having said that, the United States of America is not the nation that God loves and that Christ died for. That's another nation. It's a spiritual. There are many out of the United States of America, but a people out of every nation throughout the world. That's the nation God's interested in. And whatever His purpose is for this literal country, I pray that He'll preserve, as I prayed in my prayer, because this has been burdening my heart of late, I pray that He'll preserve our rights and our liberties that we have, which I fear are eroding very quickly. Amen. But whatever happens, it'll be all right. Don't you feel that way? Doesn't that give you peace in your heart? Amen. It'll be all right. Because God reigns. The Son of God reigns. My friend reigns. My Savior reigns. My older brother reigns. Think about what it would mean to you if this may be true. I mean, if your brother, your sister was elected to Congress. Well, what if your brother or sister was the President of the United States? Well, what if your brother ruled the world? Well, there's no if there. He does. He does. He rules the world. People all the time tell me, they say, you know, I met Senator so-and-so. Or I met the congressman. Well, I know the king. I know the king. And He shows to us, according to His will, things that must come to pass. They must come to pass. And He signified these things in the Word of God by His angel unto John. So really, if you want to get here's the order in this verse. God gives to Jesus Christ this revelation. And Jesus Christ gives it to an angel. And the angel gives it to John, who shows it to the servants. And right here is the record. And God is showing us things right here in this book. Things that must shortly come to pass. You say, well, what does shortly mean? Well, they're short according to the way God measures time. Because with the Lord, 1,000 years is a day. And a day is 1,000 years. In other words, time doesn't mean anything to God. Provided for our benefit. Look at the second verse, and I'll just make a few statements here. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that He saw. What does John do? Well, John bears record of that one who is the Word of God. And this expression, who bear record of the word, is an expression unique to John. In other words, no other writer uses this expression, who bear record of the word of God. Only John does. He bears record of the word, the living word, the incarnate word. In John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 1, he talks about the Word that we have handled. We've handled Him. We've hugged Him, John said. Our eyes have looked on Him. The Word of God. The Word of God. He's a full expression of God. He's everything that God has to say to us. Our Lord Jesus, talking with the disciples one day, and Philip said to Him, if you'd just show us the Father, it'd satisfy us. And the Savior said, Philip, have I been with you this long and you don't understand? Well, the Lord, He's patient with His people. And you don't understand. He that's seen me, He's seen the Father. I'm so thankful that the Lord puts up with our ignorance and, you know, how little we know, how little we comprehend. I'm thankful He's our all. I'm thankful my relationship to God is not dependent upon me, but dependent upon my Mediator, my Savior, and His doings for me on the cross. Aren't you thankful for that? John bare record of the Word of God. He bore record of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what John did. And every preacher of the gospel, here's our duty, here's our job, to bear record of the word. That kind of puts everything in summary. Our sole responsibility is to bear record of the word of God, to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all the things that he saw. And then he says, blessed is he that readeth. Reads diligently, reads honestly, reads prayerfully, reads purposefully. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy. And by the way, when you read the word prophecy, it doesn't always mean to foretell. Sometimes it does. But it also means just forth tell. Blessed are those who read, those that hear the words of this prophecy, those that keep those things which are written therein. If you can read the word of God with a measure of understanding, with a degree of comprehension, and see in this book salvation by substitution and salvation by satisfaction. And if you can hear the words of this that's being foretold, I mean to hear with understanding that Christ is all, salvation's by grace, of the blood and the righteousness of the dear Lamb of God. If you keep those things that are written, keep them. You adhere yourself to them. You take hold of them. You know, we do take hold of the Word of God. Amen. Pull it in. You know why we do that? Because the Word of God takes hold of us and pulls us in. Somebody says, I'm holding on to the Lord. Well, it's not your hold that keeps you. I can tell you that. It's His hold on you. But we do take hold of Him. Don't we? Isn't that faith? Hey, when Peter's walking on the water for a little ways, and then he got troubled in his soul, and he said, Lord, save me. When the Lord put his hand down, what do you think Peter did? Just, I bet he went, oh, yes. But you know what? It wasn't Peter's hold on the Savior that saved him. It's the Savior's hold on Peter. Oh, he is hanging on for dear life. But his life wasn't dependent upon him holding the Savior, but the Savior holding him. That's the way it is. Amen. I do hold to him now. I do, and I say to you, hug up to the Savior. I told this to somebody last night. I said, hug up to the Savior. You know what I mean, don't you? Hug up to the Savior. Tell you what, sometimes you just need somebody to hug, don't you? Have you ever said to anybody, I need a hug? Could I have a hug, please? Is there a hug in the house? You know. Let me tell you something. I do hug up to the Savior, but I need His hug more. And you know what? He hugs us, He embraces us, and He never lets go. But there are some times when we're more aware of His hug than others. Isn't that right? Oh, I say, come to the Savior and hug up. He's the Word of God. Everything God's got to say to sinners now, He says through Christ Jesus. No other helper, no other mediator, no other Savior, no other comforter for your soul, but the Son of God. Let's turn to one.